Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Laurie Wyman and starring John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. No matter what your occupation, there's always the possibility that you'll find a typewritten bomb on your desk when you get to the office in the morning. The Royal Navy is no exception to this rule, but in some ways it's even worse, because your typewritten bomb is on official paper and has rubber stamps on it, which demand immediate action, or you'll be scrubbing the decks, mate. Captain Povey is about to find that he has one of these explosive communications on his desk as he settles in his faded imitation leather plastic-covered, badly sprung office chair this morning.
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's a mistake. It's got to be a mistake. Your Ren Chasen. Put that out of their tiny blue surge minds. It'll never work. Your Ren Chasen. How can they dream up a thing like this? Your Ren Chasen.
Sir?
It's ridiculous. It won't work. And even if it did, it ought not to. Ren Chasen!
I'm right beside you and I haven't got cloth ears, sir.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Have you seen this signal from Whitehall?
Yes, sir. I must admit, I had to read it twice myself.
I'm not surprised. That I always said that lot of Whitehall were completely bonkers. Who but one of those chairborne yachtsmen would ever dream of considering a sub-Lieutenant Phillips for promotion?
Well, it is long overdue, sir. I mean, he is the oldest sub-lieutenant in the Navy.
Well, yes, I suppose he must be.
In the same way that you're the oldest captain.
Thank you, Ren Chasen. There's nothing to do with it. And in my case, I deny it. I am only 36. Well, and a bit.
It's a jolly big bit.
It's not.
You're forgetting, sir. I keep the records, and according to my books, you're much nearer 50.
Yeah, well, never mind my records. Just go and get the ones from Mr. Phillips. Oh, and put a call through to Trout Bridge and tell him I want to see Sub-Lieutenant Phillips here in my office at once.
Hello, sir. Lieutenant Phillips reporting.
Good grief, that didn't take long. How did you get here so quickly?
I've been outside since 6:30 this morning, waiting for you to read that signal.
How did you know it was here?
CPO Pertwee told me it was on its way days ago.
Oh, I should have guessed, yes. I presume he has a cousin in the signals office?
No, sir, a nephew who empties the waste paper baskets. After the appointments board meeting.
You know. Never mind that. Now, listen. I sent for you to tell you officially that the Ministry of Defense, in its wisdom, and I use the term extremely loosely, has decided to consider you for promotion.
Yes, well, I know all about that. So now, if you'll excuse me, I have an appointment with my tailor to have this ring moved 6 inches up my sleeve.
What on earth for?
To make room for the next one, of course. Or perhaps two or three. You never know, do you?
Mr. Phillips, before you get your promotion to lieutenant, you have to pass an examination board.
Oh, that's no problem. I mean, my navigation is perfect. I can soon polish up on the other bits I may be a little rusty on.
It would take you 10 years and 50 tons of emery paper.
You will have your little joke, won't you, sir? Well, if that's all, I really am terribly busy this morning. I've also got to call in to see my hatter.
For a larger size, I take it.
No. I want an estimate for the gold braid on the peak of my cap. Just in case I pass the examination more brilliantly than even I think I will.
Really?
Then I've got to pop in to put my name down for the Golden Epaulette Club.
The Golden Epaulette Club? I've never heard of it.
Oh, you wouldn't, sir. It's only for vice admirals and above. Good morning, sir.
Come in.
Are you alone, sir? Or is Sub-Lieutenant Lord Nelson about?
That's enough, Chief. What do you want?
We can't take much more of him, sir.
Who?
A certain blonde navigating officer who shall be nameless, sir.
You mean Mr. Phillips?
It might be your name for him, sir, but if I mention the one I've got for him, I'll be in the brig for the rest of me puff.
Yes, I know what you mean. The prospect of promotion does seem to have gone to his head a little.
Gone to his head? You don't know what he's like, sir. When he said good morning to me earlier, I said good morning, sir, and saluted.
Well?
He told me not to answer him back, but he'd have me slung from the highest yardarm in the British Navy for the scurrilous, mutinous dog that I was.
Oh. Come to think of it, he keeps calling me Mr. Christian.
He's just cannot canast to canose.
Well, what do you suggest we do, Chief? Cast him off in an open boat?
If it wasn't an admiral's barge, he wouldn't go.
Very good, Chief. Is that the lot?
No, sir. A special application from a requestman, sir. He wants to see you at once, sir. It's highly urgent, sir.
Who is it?
Leading seaman Goldstein, sir.
Yeah, I thought that wouldn't be long. Better march him in and get it over with, I suppose.
Sir.
Easy, little thing! Ahead! Help! Straight up, Alex, straight up!
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm going as fast as I can.
Oh!
I can't!
Oh!
I will in a minute. My feet can't halt till they've caught up with the rest of me, can they? There. Satisfied?
Well, Goldstein, what do you want?
Well, quite a bit, really. I mean, it occurred to me that if promotion's in the air, like, now was as good a time as any for me to ask you when I'm going to be made a petty officer.
Yes, I thought that's what
I mean,
it was
good luck to Mr. Phillips and all that, but I asked first, didn't I?
Goldstein,
We all know it's one law for the rich and one for the poor. And nothing at all if you happen to be Welsh, like I am. Come from a lovely home, I do. You ought to pop in and see it sometime. There's always a kettle on the hob.
Goldstein, I shan't...
Well, you should. My Aunt Morpeth makes a lovely cup of tea. If you like it herbal, that is. And she wants to know when I'm going to be made a petty officer, too. So you'd better hurry up and have your answer ready when you meet her.
Chief.
With a lack of liberty, sir. Goldstein. Goldstein. Help! Help!
No, just a minute.
Get them all forward! Oh. Help!
No, no, hang on. Can you? I haven't finished yet.
What you have now.
Well?
I'll be back.
And the awful thing is, he will.
Yes, well, never mind about leak bonds, sir. What are we going to do about big bonds? I mean, Mr. Phillips, sir.
We'll just have to wait till after his examination board.
But he'll never pass, sir. When it comes to nautical knowledge, he doesn't know his bulkhead from his bulwarks.
True, true.
Ah, there you are, Mr. Christian. Hello, Pertwee. What are you doing down from the yardarm, It's not sunset yet.
Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, come away from him, or your son is going to set it to rush. Now, what's that nasty little piece of paper you're waving about?
What? Oh, this. Oh, it's nothing. It's just a personal note from the Admiral, asking if I'd mind popping over to his flagship for a chat sometime tomorrow.
Let me see that.
I already have, sir. I just had a quick butcher's at it over his shoulder. It's a signal from the Wren clerk at Records, ordering him to attend the examination board aboard the flagship daughter at 9:30 sharp.
Well, you read it your way, I'll read it mine. Right, now if anything vital comes up that I should know about, I shall be in my day cabin perusing a manual or two.
A manual?
He means Noddy's Book of Boats, sir.
Yes, of course. So you're going to spend the rest of the day swatting up for your examination?
Well, that would hardly be necessary, really. In my case, an examination is a mere formality.
Formality? And that from someone who thinks that the plimsoll mark is a footprint from a dirty gym shoe.
Well, isn't it?
Well, really. Frankly, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
Yes, Mr. Christian?
Stop calling me that.
The sooner you start swelling for that exam tomorrow, the better.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Money, sir?
Oh, yes, Chief. As we're having to take Mr. Phillips across to the Admiral's flagship this morning, I wanted to inquire if our launch looks as if she belongs to a ship of the Royal Navy and not like the garbage tender to a Chinese junk.
Yes, well, I'm ahead of you, sir. I had all the sweet and sour and crispy noodles cleaned off yesterday, sir.
Splendid. In that case, perhaps for once, we shall be able to go alongside the flagship and be spared the sight of 240 officers and men leaning over the rails holding their noses.
Well, we had our own back, sir. We took at least 4 gallons of paint off it all when we tied up alongside.
Well, let's be honest about it, Chief. That was going to happen anyway. Come in!
Ah, I'm glad you're in. I just wanted to report that the launch is alongside and waiting to take our candidate for promotion to the flagship, sir.
Oh, thank you, Goldstein.
And whilst we're on the subject of promotion, where's mine?
Now, look here, Goldstein.
And you may as well know that whilst we're aboard the flagship, I intend to have a word or two with the Admiral Bach about the matter myself.
Goldstein, I absolutely forbid...
I'm doing you a favor, really. I mean, let's face it. If I don't chat up the Admiral, my Aunt Morpeth will.
Goldstein!
For hours and hours.
Well, we better deal with one problem child at a time. Come along, Chief. We better go and see if Mr. Phillips is ready.
All right, sir. Mind you, he ought to be ready for the off. He had Able Seaman Johnson out half the night sewing on his badges of rank and medal ribbons.
They were already sewn on.
Not on his pajamas.
Now, isn't that odd? He went for a dip this morning and they're on his swimming trunks. Mr. Phillips? Mr. Phillips! Do you think he's all right?
Well, I don't know. Let me try, sir.
Oi! Admiral!
Yes, who is it?
Mr. Murray and me, sir.
Well, what is it?
The best men have come to collect the groom, sir.
Oh, very well. Come in.
Hello, you chaps. Well, how do I look?
It's a joke.
It's a joke, isn't it? It is, isn't it, sir? It's a joke. You're just giving Mr. Murray and me a giggle, aren't you?
Certainly not.
You must be. You look like something out of HMS Pinafore.
Yeah, look at all those decorations. He looks like Regent Street on Christmas Eve.
Philip, where on earth did you get that little outfit from?
Well, if you must know, I popped into Greaves, the naval tailor's. One can't come out without buying something, can one?
Obviously, one didn't. You must have mortgaged your pay for the next 10 years.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Starting from the top?
If you insist.
Right, well, one wears one's admiral's hat from north to south, sir. Not from east to west.
Neither does one wear a field marshal's plumes in it.
Oh, I thought they'd brighten it up a bit.
Item 3. One ceremonial sword is usually considered sufficient. Not 2.
Well, one's for weekdays.
Item 4, it's not considered authentic rig to wear spurs with sea boots.
No?
No.
You think I've overdone it a bit?
Frankly, yes.
Yeah, and you think I should change?
Rapidly, sir. It's only your nautical knowledge that's going to get you through this ball, sir, not your sprawly get-up. Mr. Murray, sir, do you think we could get the launch going a bit faster? The way Mr. Phillips looks, I don't reckon we're going to get him there in time.
What's the matter with him?
Well, he's swat happy, sir. Yeah. Listen to him. He's bung full of answers to all the wrong questions.
Prize money in the time of the Commonwealth was given at the rate of 10 shillings per ton and £6.30 and 4 pence per gun of ship captured. One short blast on the sirens means I'm altering course to starboard. Two short blasts mean I'm altering course to port. Three short blasts means I'm going astern. One long blast means my hooter is stuck. Fishing boats with nets down must carry two white lights. A red triangle with a lump of paling fence in the middle means approaching a level crossing.
Yes, I see what you mean. Oh, it's not fair. His little brain will go off. Bang.
Yes, sir. Yes, any second, sir. And what's more, sir, look at him. He's going stiff as a board. He's got examination fright.
Yes, he has, hasn't he?
Yes, and if he gets any stiffer, we can get him to crook his little finger and we can use him as a boat hook.
Right. Full ahead, Mr. Queeg, please.
Ah, by that I take it you mean you want some sort of action on my part now, sir. At this minute, as it were.
Certainly. We want the boat to go faster.
Well, that's a pity. I mean, I'm more than willing to oblige, but the lad who understands all the mechanical gubbins or whatever they are that keep this launch going wasn't able to make the trip himself. That's why I'm here, as you might say. Unfortunately, the lad was only able to stay on board long enough to start the motor. Then was called away on some far more urgent business of his own.
Oh, he's not poorly again, surely.
I'm afraid he is, sir. I'm afraid he is, yes. In an effort to stop the rot, as you might say, he bought himself a packet of instant Welsh rabbit. And if ever he chucked his money down the drain, it was this morning.
Instant Welsh rabbit?
That's what it had on the label, sir, yes. And a more apt piece of advertising I've yet to see. Instant wasn't the word for it. It struck him like lightning, sir. One minute he was down here pressing the starter button, and the next minute the engine was still dead, but he'd taken off like a rocket.
Yes, come to think of it, I remember him chucking me a salute as he rushed past me and up the gangway.
Oh, he's an extremely loyal little chap, sir. When he gets the time. By the look on his face when he left, I'm surprised that he had.
Now you mention it, he did look a bit hunted. Nevertheless, Mr. Queeg, increase power as much as you can, will you? The sooner we get Mr. Phillips to the flagship, the better.
Oh, I know what you mean. I observed the look on his face myself. For a moment, I thought he'd had a packet of that instant Welsh rabbit as well. That's the way they go, you know. They clutch the sides and stare straight ahead all the time. Jolly unnerving for a mere helpless bystander.
Oh, quite. Well, do the best you can, Mr. Queeg. Speed is of the essence.
A quotation frequently used by the lads, sir, yes. If you just leave the problem with me, sir, I'll give it a constant mull over, I can assure you.
A flagship dead, sir.
Is that a fact? Well, now that... That presents us with a completely different problem altogether.
What do you mean?
Well, I explained that the lad was able to stay just sufficiently long to start up this launch, or whatever it's called. But in his hour of need, he wasn't able to hang about long enough to tell me how to stop it.
What? Mr. Queeg, may I remind you that you're supposed to be our engineering officer?
Ah, that's what I am, yes. Well, if that's the case, I can only suggest we apply the same principle that I used to use for stopping my toy train set when I was a wee bairn.
What was that?
Let the launch go round and round the flagship until the clockwork runs down.
It's a nice theory, sir. Yeah. It's a very nice theory, but I don't think there's time. Everybody down! And bang goes another 4 gallons of battleship grey paint.
Oh, really? The flagship knew we were coming. There was no need to knock at the side door.
Well, I'm sorry, pardon, sir, but there is one thing. The 240 men aren't leaning over the rails holding their noses this time. They've all got their fingers in their ears instead.
Haven't we all?
Oh, never mind them. Let's get the brain of Britain on board, or you'll be late for his appointment.
No, it's no good. I don't want to see them. They'll never ask the questions I know the answers to. I've got the bit between my teeth, and I'm going to run away.
Don't grab him!
I've got him, sir. I've got him. He can't escape now, sir. No, I've got him in a vice-like grip that he... Oh! Where did you learn to fight dirty?
I've been watching the wrestling on the telly.
Well, you've got to get a public warning for that. If you'd, sir, do me a favour and stick to watch with mother.
Ah, wonderful. wonders will never cease. You actually managed to get here then, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
Lummy Thunderguts. What's he doing here?
It may surprise you to learn, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, that I am president of your examination board. Hard luck.
You never stood a chance.
Thank you.
This way, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
Now then, Mr. Phillips.
Do I sit here, sir?
No, Mr. Phillips. We sit, you stand.
Clangor number one.
Right. Now, allow me to introduce you to the other members of the board. This is Captain Hardcastle.
How do you do, lad? Now, make yourself comfortable. I know how you feel. I've been there myself. Keep your answers straight and the point. You'll sail through it. Now, first question. Why did you join the service in the first place?
Well, sir, when I was four, my nanny gave me a boat in the bath. As I was floating her around...
Hey, help.
What?
What were you doing, floating your nanny around in the bath?
Well, so she couldn't swim, you see. No. It was the boat that couldn't swim. No. She was there because she joined the service in the first world. Could I meet the rest of the board?
Yes, I think you'd better. Now, this officer is from the security branch, Commander Weatherly.
Admiral, how do you... Good morning.
You should have tried that first.
And this officer has come down specially from the Ministry of Defense. Captain, I'm so sorry, sir. I've forgotten your name.
Not at all. I'm Captain Anderson.
Pardon?
People usually say, bless you. Actually, now then, Mr. Phillips, if you don't understand any of the questions I put you in my interrogation, it's because I'm suffering from a vicious attack of hay fever.
Thank you, sir. Yes, I had noticed.
Really? Well, it's most kind of you, Sub-Lieutenant! It's not often one meets people who appreciate my unfortunate situation!
That's not a vicious attack. You're a one-man epidemic.
That's what everybody says. Now then, question one! What is the difference in the last dog? What? From the bell in any other... What?
I beg your pardon, sir. Sir, would you mind re-sneezing that question?
Forget it. Whoever makes up these questions, I'll never know. Probably the same flaming idiot who christened me Ignatius Aloysius.
That's done it. You'll not stop him now. Happens every time he's introduced.
Hello, Ethan!
There he goes.
Hello, Ethan!
Perhaps it might be good, why not take some of your pills?
No, thanks. I'll,
I'm perfectly all right when I've had a sniff of my anti... He... histamine! In... inhaler.
Well, gentlemen, I feel we ought to...
Hang on, Paul, be a minute.
Hector!
All clear now. Carry on, Paul.
I was going to ask if there are any more questions.
Yes, yes, I've got one. I still want to know what he was doing floating his nanny round the bar.
Well, if you must know, I was practicing my navigation.
Oh, is that what you call it? Well, that's fair enough. Why didn't you say so in the first place? No further questions.
The whole thing is as clear as mud.
That just leaves you, Captain Atchison. Dare I ask if you have any further questions?
No, thanks. He's answered to my complete.
Your complete what?
Do I have to?
Well, of course I need it for the record.
Oh, all right, then, if you must. My complete satisfaction!
Bless you.
Oh, thanks. That's the nicest thing anyone has said to me all day.
Right then, that's all that nonsense over. It's all over me. Let's come on, let's all get down to the wardroom.
Oh, now, really, Captain Hardcastle, gentlemen, please.
Oh, stamp the idiot with a little lion and send him back. Go on.
Lummy, do you mean I've passed?
No, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, you most certainly have not, as yet. There has obviously been some misunderstanding. You'll return your ship and await further development.
Hello, Heather. Is Captain Povey in yet?
No, I'm afraid not, Stephen.
Have you any idea when Captain Povey will be back?
Well, the doctors reckon it'll be another fortnight.
The doctors?
Yes, he's got a nasty attack of hay fever. It seems he tried to say Ignatius Aloysius Atchison, and he got stuck in the groove.
But I can't possibly wait that long. I want to know the result of my interview.
Oh, if that's all you're bothered about, I can tell you that. He told me over the phone in between sneezes.
Well, put aside of our misery, what was it?
Mr. Phillips was found guilty.
What?
Eh?
Pardon?
He was found guilty. But there's no need to panic because the sentence will never be confirmed as none of them can find out what the charge was.
I think I'd like to go potty. Look, Heather, I don't want to be difficult, but to the best of my knowledge, I appeared before a promotion board.
Yes, Leslie, you thought that, and I thought that, and Captain Povey thought that, but the others were sitting as a court-martial.
What?
It's true. A signal got delayed somewhere and all the promotion boards have been put back for a month. They're having a week of courts-martial instead.
Lummy, this is serious. I mean, what am I going to do with all that clobber I got from Greaves?
I thought you'd never ask, Lieutenant Phillips. Now, it so happens that my Uncle Ebenezer Pertwee's surplus stores are always willing to strike an hard bargain. Now, look, it's not as much of a market these days for second-hand clothes.
Second-hand? They've never even been saluted.
Perhaps then, on the other hand, we could melt the ceremonial swords down to scrap. But the real trouble has got to be those sea boots with the spurs on. Never mind, sir. Perhaps we can find a fox hunting admiral who can put them to good use for a couple of bob. Now, what's the lowest we'll take for the lot, sir? Come on.
John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips and Stephen Murray have been suffering their customary indignities in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chasen, Taffy Goldstein was Tenny Evans, Lieutenant Queeg was Ronnie Barker, and Captain Atchison was played by Michael Bates. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.
Thank you.